Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on everything that's imaginable to bet on this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on the season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win division and championship features now. Head to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign bonuses. BetOnline, your online sports experts. All right, guys, welcome to another Pitt Panther Rants and another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by Armchair Media and sponsored by the folks at BetOnline.ag and Manscaped. All right, guys, it's hump day. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a podcast in this week, so I'm going to probably cram us all in on one thing. College football is back. Pitt kicked off against Austin Peay on Saturday, as we all saw. We had a stress-free Saturday as Pitt took care of business. This wasn't like, you know, last year where we threw Nick Patty in against the division, you know, on a 1AA team and sweated for the entire afternoon. Pitt came in, took care of business. That's that. They wasted time, took no prisoners, all that happy crap. I mean, it was a great day, and Pitt is now 1-0, and they go to Syracuse this week. They play Syracuse this weekend. As far as the game goes, one thing I was looking at when I was watching was Kenny Pickett. I saw he was 14-20 for 277 yards. Some touchdown passes. Look at the game I watched. He looked really good. And, you know, I watched. I checked out some other analysis on Kenny as well, and it looks like just for myself in the game itself, he looked everything that a senior player, senior quarterback should look. I mean, one person in particular, you could follow him at Chilling with Deke. He gave his whole analysis on it, and he said, Pickett, his game was underrated because he was 14-20, but he had three drops. And basically, he was a lot more confident. He got the block there quick. And it just seemed like he looked a little, he didn't look like the timid player, he looked like he didn't progress much. He just looked a lot better, a lot more confident. He was getting, he played really well. I mean, it is just Austin Peay, but it's good to see that he actually, was able not to break a sweat against this team. I mean, he was out by halftime pretty much. And then we got the younger guys reps. Now, we didn't have Taysier Mack or Rashard Weaver. But as far as receivers go, I mean, it looks like we're pretty deep in receiver and tight end. We got tons of talent. I mean, we got a lot of guys with speed at wide receiver. I mean, we got guys who pretty much can, take your pick, get the ball to them, and they're going to do something with it. It looks like a running back. It's going to be by committee because, A.J. Davis, Vincent Davis, Daniel Carter, Israel Bacanada, they all split the carries. Izzy, as they call him, they said supposedly he's the best back talent-wise. But, these guys all look good against Austin Peay, but what they will say is, look at the backs, they ran with a lot more confidence in terms of finding the holes and, field vision. they just looked a lot better. I mean, they ran more confidence, but another game tells another story. And I mean, there's not much to, you know, defensively. I mean, there's not much to talk about because Rashard Weaver was out supposedly due to COVID. I'm not sure how that is. Supposedly he was positive one day and then negative the next few days. But the defense looked like they didn't miss a beat. But looking at the rest of the, you know, rest of the ACC, I mean, Miami took care of UAB, which is a good win for them because UAB is one of those teams that will creep up on you. Clemson took care of Wake Forest with no problem. Notre Dame lost to, you know, Notre Dame beats Duke 27-13. I thought Duke would upset them, but I'm always wrong. Syracuse, North Carolina, they won this 131-6. Don't let the score deceive you too much. North Carolina needed 21, you know, scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to pull away. Syracuse doesn't look all that impressive, and you know Pitt's got them next week, and we'll get to that. Florida State lost to Georgia Tech 16-13. Mike Norvell's first game doesn't look too good. I think Florida State's going to have some growing pains. You know, I don't think they're back just yet. Louisville knocks off Western Kentucky, and of course Pitt knocks off Austin Peay. As far as the rest of the college football world, not too much else. I mean, West Virginia knocks off Eastern Kentucky despite the suspending, a good bit of players. I think they had 10 guys suspended or something like that for violations. I don't know. Kansas State lost to Arkansas State. That's a notable upset, 35-31. Texas Tech beats Houston Baptist 35-33, which is odd because Houston Baptist is like a really small school, and Christ, they took them to the Houston Baptist took them to the end. Kansas lost to Coastal Carolina, so more embarrassment for Kansas as always. And that was pretty much it. I mean, there's no other games going on, nothing too crazy. But as for week 3, I mean, we're not going to see the SEC play until the end of September. I think 9/26 is when they kick off this year. You know, as far as the Big Ten supposedly is going to restart pretty soon. You know, back supposedly October they're going to restart. You know, they're going to finally get what they want. And now the Pac-12 is going to follow suit. So, not sure how this all is going to work out as far as the playoffs go. If the Pac-12 comes back, you have to include both these guys in the playoff, in this whole playoff system because it just wouldn't make any sense. So, I'm sure they'll all work something out. I think the Big Ten talked about playing an 8-game schedule. And if they're shortening their schedules, then maybe it all lines up together. Who knows? But as far as week 3 goes for Pitt, they got Syracuse. And right now, Pitt's opening as a 22-point favorite. Over-under is 50 points. I don't know. I think I like the under in this one. I think they're going to – yeah, I like the under in this one. I definitely like the under 50 on this one. We'll know more about Pitt in this game because we'll see how they play against Syracuse. Pitt tends to let Syracuse hang around a good bit. It always happens. I mean, that's what happens when you have a rival like Syracuse. These rivalry games are a big deal. I mean, this is a huge rivalry, and, you can't always count out Syracuse. But if Pitt, comes in, kicks ass, takes names, doesn't let them hang around, beats them without any issue, I think, we may be a little bit surprised here. We may, be like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. Now, this may be a different Pitt team than we thought. But then again, we'll just say, well, it's just Syracuse. Boston College has Duke. Hard to say who I like in this one. I'd probably go with Duke because they have a game under their belt. But maybe Jeff Hafley will have something cooking up for them. Who knows? South Florida has Notre Dame this week, and I think Notre Dame pulled away in the second half, and they're a 26-point favorite in this one. Probably go with Notre Dame in this one. I think they'll win. But I don't know if they'll cover that 26. So that 26 seems too much, and South Florida tends to, those AAC teams usually give them trouble. North Carolina's a 30-point favorite over Charlotte. Charlotte is a horrible football program, so they should win that with no problem. They'll probably cover that 30, I bet, too. Central Florida and Georgia Tech. Tech looked really good last week. I mean, they, for playing against, Florida State, I mean, Jeff Sims had a hell of a game last week. I mean, he was the workhorse. I mean, he had almost 300 yards passing, and he had 64 yards rushing. I mean, I think this is Central Florida's first game. I don't know. Central Florida is still a hell of a program, so I think Georgia Tech may get a little bit humbled here. Citadel and Clemson, pretty easy game there. Clemson wins that one. Miami-Louisville, this should be a really good one. You got Mikal Cunningham versus De'Ara King, who is the transfer from Houston. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. It's a 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 Eastern time kickoff. Probably your game of the week. It's on ABC. I would definitely check that one out. Wake Forest plays NC State. I go with NC State probably. This is going to be a tough one. It's almost like a pick 'em. And Virginia Tech's postponed, so you're not going to see that game. In the Big 12, there's not much going on. I mean, you have Houston playing Baylor, and you got Tulsa playing Oklahoma State. That's about it for that. I mean, if we look at the entire football FBS 1AA, I mean, you got a bunch of games postponed. Cincinnati's got Austin Peay, and I'm sure they'll take care of them pretty easily. Scrolling through here, there's nothing really. I mean, at least there's college football, though. Marshall and Appalachian State, that should be a good one. Appalachian State's ranked. But look at the rest of the slate here for this week. I mean, there's really nothing much to go with. I mean, it's a pretty, right now it's not much of a slate, really. I mean, I was able to scroll throughout the whole thing with no problem. Oh, well, guys, let's roll into some other stuff. The NFL kicked off on Sunday as well. And it was it kicked off, with the Patriots and the Chiefs and the Texans. It's going to be a long season for Bill O'Brien and the Texans. I mean, they looked good in their first drive, but it was just downhill from there, and well, it's just not going to work. So, not when you see Nuke Hopkins catch 14 passes for 100 yards. But look at the games that went on. I mean, I watched the Saints and the Buccaneers, and there's going to be some growing pains with the Bucs because it's a team that they're trying to break in that team. And Brady looked so, but that line didn't seem all that great. Detroit Lions, I mean, they lost to the Bears. I mean, Mitch Trubisky threw 3 touchdowns, and that's a game the Lions really should have won. And I think, in terms of Matt Patricia, I'm not sure what you do with him. I think, if anything, he's going to be pretty much on the hot seat. Bills be the crappy Jets team. Packers beat the Vikings in the high scoring. So Aaron Rodgers obviously had a hell, 4 TDs. He had a hell of a game. Eagles lost to the Skins, and that was a surprising one. I mean, they sacked Carson Wentz 8 times, and they rallied for a win. It was looking good at first, and they just pulled away. The Browns got hammered by the Ravens 3-6, and Lamar Jackson obviously hasn't missed a beat. But, I mean, this Cleveland team, I mean, they're going to live or die by Baker Mayfield. And now, as you all know, Baker, he said he was going to kneel for the national anthem. He decided before this game that he was going to stand, and he stated why. I think, if anything, Baker's agent was probably in his ear, probably saying, yeah, you probably should stand, because if you start taking these type of stances, And on top of that, nobody really likes you, and you're not really that good on top of it. Nobody's really going to sign you when your contract is up, or if you're looking for more money, you're not going to get it. So you probably might want to stand and, you know, not ruffle some feathers. And I guess to me, that's what I feel would happen here. I don't think he's good enough really to take a stance. And if his contract goes up, nobody's really going to sign him or whatever. The Cardinals look really good against the 49ers. I think Nuke is a big thing and for Kyler Murray because he has another target. And, of course, you got Fitzgerald as well. I mean, he's always going to be reliable. Watching the Steelers on Monday night, I was pretty impressed with Big Ben. I mean, early there was some there was some rust, but by the first half was over. I mean, the guy was on our level. I mean, he threw three touchdown passes, all three TDs to J.J. Schuster, who I'm one of those people who gives him a hard time on social media. But he came to play last night. He looked really polished. I mean, receivers the Steelers got. I mean, they got a lot of talent. Defensively, they looked, like a bat out of hell. The running game, not so much. Benny Snell had a hell of a game. The offensive line isn't all that great, but James Conner got hurt again, and he just really, he was supposed to be the workhorse, and he just, he just didn't, he was out there, he was trying, it just didn't look good. And he got hurt again, and that's that. And now we're not sure what his status is. And, he's a hell of a story. He's a great story. And as a Pitt fan, James Conner has nothing to prove to me at all. Nothing. He has nothing to prove to me or anybody. The guy battled back from cancer, got back into college football, had over 1,000-yard season, had that game against Clemson. And there was times when he played with the Steelers, he started to look like the back that we all thought he would be. Where he just, especially when they were done with Le'Veon Bell, there was games I saw with Conner where he just looked a lot quicker, a lot faster. But now it's just, he's just injury plagued. And I think probably, when you battle back from something like that, it's going to take a toll on your body. I just don't think he's a workhorse back. I mean, they could have got Leonard Fournette to handle a lot of this. I mean, Conner could be a change of pace back. But me being a Pitt fan, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Conner makes an asshole out of me. And fellas, you don't want to look like an asshole as well when you go on your date, especially one with a hairy asshole. That's why we got Manscaped. With the Lawnmower 3.0, it's a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you the confidence boost for the body image. Its ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce the nicks or tugs for your fellows down below. And of course, if you want to shave your asshole. It's also waterproof. It comes with LED lights, so you can manscape in the dark. If the lights go out, you'll know which body part you're shaving. And of course, if you're shaving your asshole, you can, if that's your thing, if you like to, groom down there, groom over there. And of course, they just released the Shears 2.0. It's a nail kit. So you can give yourself a nice little manicure. Make your nails all look nice and pretty. If you're tired of buying them all the time, you can trim them. Or you can make them look good, so if you have to buy on them. And also, there's also the Crop Reviver. It's a testy toner that's like having cologne designed for your balls. We won't judge if you catch you sniffing yourself. Well, sometimes you got to, test it down there. I mean, if you're on a date, you want to make sure you smell good. I mean, you just don't know. So go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code armchair, 20% off with free shipping. Go for it. And fellas, if the date just doesn't work out, hurry over to BetOnline because there's some games going on. All the games are back. BetOnline has all the props. Anything you want to bet on. And they got plenty of season bonuses. So go ahead, guys. Sign up and get those bonuses. Go to BetOnline.ag, your sports betting experts. God, that Manscaped thing was a train wreck, but hey, it worked out for me. Let's see, the NBA Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals are set. Denver battled back from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Clippers. You know, I was not too crazy about the Rockets. Well, you know, to be honest with you, I expected the Rockets to go out and lose the Lakers because they caught the Lakers off guard in game one, I thought, and then LeBron just turned it up. And they just kicked up a notch like they did against the Blazers and just took out the Rockets without some controversy, where Daniel House got kicked out of the bubble because he brought a girl into his hotel. So Daniel House leaves the bubble probably divorced because he's married, and the Rockets gave him a nice little contract. And well, Daniel's going to have all sorts of problems going home. I mean, if you're having an affair or whatever, doing it in the bubble where they're heavily guarding this type of stuff is just not the place to do it. I mean, your team's probably going to get eliminated in a few days anyway. He could have waited it out and just went back to his wife and probably, you know, worked out whatever he needed to be taken care of. I mean, they were going to be in the bubble for a few more days. I mean, they weren't beating the Lakers. So he needed to bring a girl in. Now, the rumor was that he hooked up with Taylor Rooks. I mean, it turned out not to be true, but if he did win, if that was the case, I don't blame him, but then again, there's the whole married thing. Because because he's still cheating on his wife. I mean, if he was single and he brought Taylor Rooks, I would say give him a championship ring because he already won the playoffs. And he still technically won the playoffs. He would have still technically won the playoffs, even, you know, despite still being married. But he would still kind of lose because then he has to deal, you know, the whole, you know, Taylor could saw this as a one-off thing. And Daniel still goes home, well, living in a hotel room when he comes out of the bubble, because I'm sure, you know, his wife is going to put him out. So in this case, he totally lost on this one. And if anything, he could have just at least waited a few days and he would have been back with his wife and he'd been fine. But oh well. But as far as the Clippers go, I mean, this was a train wreck. I mean, for as much talent, as much hype this team had, they were gassed in game seven. What was very telling was the fact they faced the Denver Nuggets a day after they just finished up a seven-game series with the Jazz. Denver should be worn out. But then Denver takes them to seven games and wears them out. And now they go play the Lakers. So that should be an interesting series. Celtics and Heat kicked off, and Celtics lost in overtime, so not sure what happens there. You know, Heat's playing really good basketball right now, and I thought that maybe the Celtics would slow them down a bit, but it doesn't look like it. I mean, they let the Heat back in that game, and now they're down 0-1. As far as the Stanley Cup Finals go, the Stars were in the Finals. They're weighing the winner of the Lightning and Islanders. Islanders won, so they're down three games to two. So we could be seeing Lightning and Stars, which is a kind of a crazy combination. Lightning versus Stars. Wow. Anyways, guys, there isn't much to talk about. You guys enjoy the rest of the week as I finish up with the... I'm done with on-call, and now I just got to help the kids with homeschool, which I'll talk about later this week if I'm on or on Monday. I'll tell you how that's all going. Held a pit.
Fine.